Before we start the show today, I want to tell you about an awesome new product, Bugger Off Bomb. I just got back from Florida.
Mosquitoes the size of Buicks there.
It's like the capital of mosquitoes.
Yes.
And you know the old-fashioned bug spray that you used to spray all over yourself?
Yeah,
and it's kind of sticky,
like,
and it was gross.
Gross, yeah.
Well, there's a new organic product that's not a spray. You put it on your finger, on your hands.
Okay.
It's made with non-GMO soybean oil,
okay,
beeswax, rosemary, thyme, geranium, citronella, cedarwood, basil, eucalyptus, and essential oils.
Oh my God, that would smell amazing.
It actually smells amazing.
Yeah.
You put a little bit on your fingers. My boyfriend's mom, you know, she has the screened in porch.
Right.
No one can go outside in the summer.
Exactly.
I was outside. And Philip's like, what, the mosquitoes? I'm like, I got Bugger Off Bomb.
There you go. You were the smart one.
It's amazing. So just for our listeners, Bugger Off Bomb is offering a 15% off when you use the code SEXY. Go to buggeroffbomb.com and use the promo code SEXY at checkout. That's right. Get 15% off by going to buggeroffbomb.com and use the code SEXY at checkout. Medical disclaimer, not for use as a deterrent against Zika or Lyme disease. If you live in or visit high-risk areas, you will need something stronger. Welcome to Amped Up with Proud Resister. This is progressive activist Ryan Knight.
And I'm Chris Lavoie of The Stephanie Miller Show.
And today we have a special guest with us in the house.
I love her so much.
Healthcare expert and Trump Russia investigator, Jackie Schechner.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the podcast.
It feels good to be back in this little basement studio.
Right? Well, you were on the Stephanie Miller Show today, and I was on right after you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like all meant to be, and I didn't know that when I asked you to be on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm a proud resistor of coming to Stephanie's house.
That's right.
Because I live very far, but I took the truck today because I wanted to be supportive, and it's nice to see you guys. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, I saw you tweeted the other day, and I loved it. You tweeted that you're at cable news rehab.
Yeah.
That you're kind of taking a break.
I am.
And
you used to work in cable news.
Used to work at CNN.
Yeah. Yeah. So this originated. First of all, I've been feeling kind of lousy for a while now, just because the news has been so depressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that it was time maybe to make a shift in how I was spending my day.
Yep.
For as long as I can remember, I've had television on in the background.
Yep.
Because I worked in news, so you have a TV on your desk,
right.
You got it in the newsroom. Yep.
You got to absorb it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, I work from home too, so I get it.
Right.
I have it on. And
even when I stepped away from television news to work in advocacy, I was in communication, so I would have a TV news on in the background. I have it on at home all the time. And it's nice to have the noise,
sure,
especially if you live in a quiet home. But I realized that music is a lot healthier for me. And I wasn't learning anything by watching cable news, that I was getting most of my news online anyway. Mm-hmm. And then cable news was a regurgitation of either the news I was already hearing or a different take on it. But the takes were all the same because
right.
It's the same people they invite on over and over again.
Yeah,
right.
So long story short, as I said, you know, I'm going to try and see if this makes me feel better.
Yeah.
And so I started on Monday. I'm in day four now. So it's not like we're that deep into it at this point. But I started with the hashtag cable news rehab.
Yep.
And I basically turned off cable news. I've been listening to music during the day. I'm still on Twitter. I'm still absorbing the news online.
Yep.
I'm not watching cable news through my computer. I am just reading articles.
Yep.
And
oh, wait, you're reading?
I am.
Amazing. You mean you can still read news articles?
I know. It's
Isn't that incredible?
Amazing. Yeah. And I follow the right people on Twitter who are reporters, journalists, and influencers, and people that I think have a very smart take or a professional perspective on something.
Right.
So I feel like whatever opinion I need, I'm getting from the journalists, the lawyers, the national security experts, right? The people that I need to hear from if I need opinion.
Right, right.
And then beyond that, I just want the facts of the story.
Do you read opinions that might be different from your own, just so you can maybe get some perspective and see the other side of things?
Yeah, I mean, I follow a wide variety of people. The problem now, I think, is that the other side of a reasonable and rational is fabricated in propaganda. And so I don't know how much other side there is at this point, because I feel like anybody who's got a real grasp of fact and reality is the same side.
Right.
And there's a real difference, and this got brought out this past week with this whole SoulCycle Equinox thing. For those of you who know, Stephanie got me into SoulCycle about 7 years ago, And I'm not only just like a huge rider, but I'm also kind of evangelical about it because it makes me feel good. And it's another kind of self-care thing that I do.
Sure.
And when the whole stuff came out about Stephen Ross and the fundraiser, I tried to explain to people that it's not just about politics as usual. You can be a Republican and you can believe differently than I do about the way that policy should get us to where we might want to be in this country. I'm okay with that. We can have a totally reasonable conversation about the way we differ in policy.
We used to be able to have a totally different conversation.
Right. Until Trump radicalized our politics.
Right. And the problem now is he's just a bad person.
Yeah.
And the stuff that he advocates is cruel and evil and hateful.
It's a white nationalist agenda.
Right.
Right. Yeah. When you look at his new immigration policy, you know, and it's literally favoring rich white immigrants.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm glad we're having kind of this larger conversation because one of the things that bugs me about the cable news is that we're 3 years in now. The Mueller report already said that he obstructed justice.
Right.
He's already an unindicted co-conspirator in the Southern District of New York for the hush money payouts. Mm-hmm. They're still, 3 years later, normalizing the biggest crook, basically, who's ever occupied the Oval Office. And it's like, look, cable news, it's a for-profit industry, right? And so I think they balance that. Their job is to tell the truth to the American people. But sometimes it's like they're reporting on the circus. And Trump kind of controls the circus. Because, you know, he'll tweet something that's ridiculous. Then you sit there and like you just said, they're giving opinion on his tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the way I look at it, it's like Trump should not be covered like a normal president because he's not a normal president, right? He's a felon. He's a white supremacist.
Right.
He's a demagogue.
Right.
That's who he is. So any coverage of him that isn't highlighting those points is missing the beat. And so I feel like that's where I get exhausted with cable media because it's like they're showing us the circus. And they're not giving us any truth behind all of what's going on. Like, for instance, the Associated Press, which is probably one of the more reputable outlets.
Sure.
Just this year in 2019, changed their style guide. And for those listening, a style guide is basically like they have things they can and can't say on air. Right. Or they can and can't write about in stories.
It also keeps it uniform so that people who are writing for the Associated Press around the world have the same style of how they
write. Style of how they write. But also the AP style guide is kind of like the Bible of style guides. And actually NBC uses it and other networks use it.
Sure.
Well, they also don't require the Oxford comma, but that's a whole other
thing. Oh, I'm very pro Oxford comma.
So am I.
High five on the Oxford comma.
But just this is how crazy a time we're in. While Trump has been pushing this kind of white nationalist movement since 2015, you know, he launched his campaign calling Mexicans, you know, rapists and drug dealers.
Back up. Just 5 years of birtherism before that.
Before that. We had 5 years of birtherism.
And the Central Park Five.
Central Park Five. I mean, we've known
this. And being sued by the state of New York for
housing discrimination.
Right, there you go.
So, but
his racism ain't new.
Ain't new. And it's not a story. We know what it is. But the AP style guide of this year said, finally, they said, if something is racist, you can call it racist.
Oh, thank
you. Instead of using words like racially tinged or racially charged.
Dancing around it.
But that's like, if the AP style guide is just saying this, I think it was March of 2019, that you can call a racist, like, this is the problem.
Right.
Our institutions, our cable news, they kind of prop up white supremacy, and they always kind of have. And we don't talk about it, but when you can't call the president a racist, it's like, get rid of the word racist, because that's what he is.
Well, there's a little bit of other stuff working in here, in addition to kind of the finances of it. I think part of it, too, is that the left... The media has been considered liberal or accused of being too liberal for a very long
time. That's what's so weird. It's not.
It's not.
We don't have really liberal media.
No.
Liberal media is kind of independent media.
Right.
It's this program.
But it has been accused for so long of being
a liberal bias.
Having a liberal bias. Correct. Right. That there has been a backlash to that. There's been this desire not to be labeled as liberal, and so they end up overcompensating.
Yep.
So that's part of it. The other part of it, I don't want to underestimate the power of this, is just the sheer laziness, especially of cable news. When you have all of these commentators on, a lot of them, most of them, I would say, work for free, right? These are not paid contributors. There's maybe, I would say, a handful of paid contributors, but I don't even know anymore if they do, because a lot of people just volunteer to be on cable news for exposure.
Well, some of them are actually surrogates too. Like, they'll have Trump surrogates on CNN every night that are surrogates for the White House.
Right, but they don't get paid.
Right,
and none of these contribute. Very few of them. I know. I could say maybe I know a couple that still get paid.
Right.
But most of them are doing it just for exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cheap labor, free labor. They're willing to come on. They have a Rolodex of people they can call at any time who are willing to jump to go do this.
Yep.
And it's laziness in terms of when I was in the newsroom at CNN, and I'm, you know, I'm going to spill secrets because it's been a long time. And
spill
who cares?
The tea.
No, who cares, right? But, you know, you get into your morning meeting for an afternoon show, and it's basically stories that people are pitching because they've read them in the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal in the morning.
Yeah. Right.
So it's how do we put a TV news spin on the stuff that's already been reported earlier right. in the day? And if you pitched a story, and at the time I was the internet correspondent, so I used to cover blogs and news online as if it were a beat, right? As if I were covering the White House or if I was covering Congress.
Right.
And so it was my responsibility to find the stories that other people weren't telling. But there was a real fear of being first because they didn't want to cover stuff that hadn't already been covered. And look, I mean, if you don't trust me, fine, but I've been a journalist for a long time and I could prove myself because I would go out and have two sources.
Right.
I wasn't going to put something on the air that I didn't have backup for because I was a trained journalist. I went to school for it, grad school for it. Right. And so it's something that I knew how to do. And I wasn't that desperate to get something on the air that I wasn't going to double source it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's more work than a lot of reporters do now.
Yeah.
Right.
So for me, the challenge was to get something new in there. And often you'd pitch a story that wasn't in the paper in the mornings. And by the afternoon, somebody else had picked it up. And then it was like, okay, let's now rush to get back on it.
Right.
Well, we had it earlier, but you didn't want to do it because somebody else hadn't gotten out with it first.
Right. Yep.
So there's a real fear of being first. And there's a real fear of doing something innovative that somebody else hasn't done.
Or investigative journalism and investigative reporting.
But that's expensive.
But really, see, here's the thing. Yeah. And this is one of the things. If you look back at Watergate, a lot of the media companies weren't owned by corporations, right? There were still family-run papers.
Sure.
And, you know, we have seen, I mean, I think it's something like there's a handful of billionaires that own all the cable news networks, right?
Yeah.
I think there's like seven of them. And so it's like the fact is that we it needs to be about the truth, right?
Sure.
But they're in it for the ratings. I mean, look at Trump has, there is something to be said where covering this circus, I mean, they went live to every Trump rally. They're not doing that anymore, which is a good thing. But they kind of created this beast, you know? And they still, the way they cover it, it's like, if you're debating whether Trump is a racist or not, Trump is winning because we know he's a racist.
Right.
Like, there's no debate to be had.
Right.
If you're debating whether his policies are white nationalist enough, like, Trump is winning. If you're debating whether climate change is real or not, the Republicans are winning because we know climate change is real.
Right.
But this is what they do to, like you said, to appear, do they want to present both sides?
There is no both sides.
Well, guess what? There is no both sides.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at in this moment in history. There is no both sides, right? One party is standing with truth, you know, science,
fact,
and justice. Yeah. And the other party is pretty much trying to have a white nationalist takeover of our government.
One party has two sources.
Yeah.
The other party just pulling shit out of the air.
The other party's source is Donald Trump, who just makes shit up.
Yeah, no, it's propaganda
disinformation,
and it's dangerous. And there's a responsibility in the media to report the facts.
Yes.
And the problem now is that there's too much opinion that's mixed in with fact. And it's happening on shows that purport to be straight news shows.
Opinion fills airtime, though.
Correct.
That's why there's a preponderance of opinion.
Right. And the news cycle's moving much more quickly than it was in the Watergate era, right? You waited till the story was printed in the newspaper the next day. You had the three main network news stations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They were your authority, your network news at night. And then, and granted, I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of stories that got lost over time because you're not being covered in the Washington Post or the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. But there was a lot more attention paid to the details so that by the time something was published, you had all of the real information in there.
Sure.
Right. Now things are moving so quickly that everybody seems to want to be first without being right.
And I also feel like there's this, everyone is scared to tell the truth about Trump, right? Like, they're scared to call him a racist when he is. They're scared to say it as it is.
Who's scared? I mean, the Republicans are kowtowing.
I
don't know if it's fear or if it's just a total lack of moral character.
There you go.
I just don't know, because what are you afraid? Like, what does Donald Trump own? What does he have? Like, he's a failed businessman.
Right. He licenses his name, and that's about it.
He's a con artist. Yeah. He's been that way from the emperor's been naked forever.
Yeah. So, six bankruptcies.
Yeah. So what are you afraid of? What's Donald Trump going to do to you? Right.
Yeah.
That's the part
he's
I don't get.
He's going to go after you on Twitter.
He's not a friend.
No.
Like, this is not a guy who has any friends.
Yeah.
He's
famously sociopathic. But, he has no friends.
We're seeing even there was that the New York Times took a hit a few weeks ago after the El Paso shooting,
and
he kind of came out, you know, after 2 years of division and blatant race baiting.
He read a teleprompter.
And he read a teleprompter.
Not well,
right? And the New York Times headline was "Trump calls for unity,"
and it was
blasphemous, though. Yeah. But guess what happened? A bunch of us on Twitter, a bunch of activists, got together, called out the New York Times. 5 hours later, the New York Times retracted the headline.
Right.
But again, that's the problem. Like, why is the newsroom? Why is the New York Times? Why are they still giving Trump the benefit of the doubt? when they show when he's a blatant criminal,
right?
When he's a blatant racist,
right?
When he's blatantly dividing America, and so that's where when you give someone like Trump just a little bit, when they're just giving him, they're normalizing it.
Oh, they've totally normalized it.
And they're totally normalizing it. And that's where these election, the 2020 election, elections, you know, they're won at the margins. They're won by a few independent voters in the middle. You know, those they're not won by the Fox News, and they're not won by the left base. They're won by those voters in the middle. And when you have media outlets mm-hmm. that are still normalizing him 3 years later, that's a problem.
Okay, let me give you something. So Anthony Scaramucci and Omarosa are going to be on Chris Matthews, allegedly.
I don't know if you saw my tweet about it. I saw your tweet about that. I don't know if you saw my tweet about
it. No, what was your tweet about it?
What are they going to add to the conversation, those two?
Nothing. Nothing. Well, Anthony Scaramucci was the communications director for exactly 10 days.
Yeah.
Who do you know that's been fired from a job after 10 days who's then now an expert on the job or the person that hired and fired
Nobody.
Them? Nobody.
But this is
Omarosa is a reality television attention seeker who was the person who said that we all were going to have to bow down to Donald Trump and defended him until she got fired because nobody could figure out what the heck it was she was supposed to be doing in the White House in the first place.
Yeah.
And now they're booking her on cable news shows as some sort of expert on Donald Trump. But they should all be banned, A, from working anywhere ever again, and B, from having an opinion on... I don't care what you think.
My tweet was... you know, Hardball sent out that tweet promoting this thing on Friday.
This is on MSNBC, by the way.
Right. Yeah. And I said, this is incredibly lazy booking.
Yes, I did see that.
Because they are both guaranteed to say yes, and Hardball is promoting the two of them like they're amazing guests, but they are not.
Yes, but I think this also speaks to a bigger issue.
Who cares what they have to say?
But I think it speaks to a bigger issue where Trump has turned our politics into a reality show. He's made it into this WWE wrestling. This is the Trump Trumpification of politics, right? Where he's changed, like the newsrooms should be leading. They shouldn't be following Trump's lead.
Yeah.
But they are.
Yeah.
When they're booking people like this, this just shows what Trump has done to our politics. He's dumbed it down to the lowest common denominator. We're not talking about the facts. We're not talking about healthcare. We're not talking about climate change. We're not talking about the financial crisis that's bearing down on us right now.
No.
Right? We're talking about whether or not Trump is a racist or, you know, this and that. And again, this kind of lazy journalism helps Trump. It feeds right into his narrative because it allows him to control everything, spin everything, go to those rallies, hold those hate rallies, and lie his face off.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of he's radicalizing a segment of America with propaganda.
I'll tell you what I'm also not on board with, and I think it was Joe Walsh who wrote the whole op-ed today about how he's coming around.
He did.
Where the hell have you people been?
Exactly.
Where have you been?
I'm
with you.
I'm fine that you want to come around, but you don't get to lead the charge.
They find
you,
the courage when it's convenient for them to do it.
And you don't get a cookie.
No, exactly.
Like, that's what I mean.
Exactly.
Like, you don't get a cookie now that you spoke out because we've been speaking out for 3 years.
Well, you created this mess.
Exactly.
Yes. So now you get to turn around and be like, oh gosh, I'm just noticing this isn't benefiting me the way I thought it would.
We've been trying to tell you this forever.
So you don't get to lead.
It's crazy though about the Never Trumpers when it's like, y'all are responsible for giving us the worst president in history. Please stay out of our Democratic primary and tell us who we should vote
for.
What
do you think of Anna Navarro type?
But here's my thing with Anna Navarro, even like she tweeted something the other day, like that was very derogatory towards Elizabeth Warren. And it's like, look, Anna, like, you know, I appreciate what she does to a degree, but again, you guys pick Trump. Like, stay out of our primary. Let us have our primary.
Yeah.
Let us have our Democratic primary because most of the Never Trumpers are now kind of shoving Biden down our throat.
Well, let's
because he's the most comfortable for them. So let's kind of shift gears.
I was going to say this would be a good play. I don't want to dictate your podcast, but
let's shift gears.
But I got all sorts of opinions.
Because
I should do my own, but
you should have your own podcast, Jackie.
We are still working on that.
We are.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I
works.
Want to.
Yes,
I do.
So
I just don't know. I mean, there's a lot of podcast makers. I'm not so sure there's enough podcast listeners.
Well, okay. You know, we have a bit of a marketing arm here.
Yeah,
we got some good loyal listeners out there. So what I want to kind of get your take on the Democratic race and kind of take stock of where we are with the 2020 race and the Democratic primary. There was a new poll out yesterday from The Economist and YouGov, and Warren now is in a statistical tie with Biden. Biden's at 21% and Warren is at 20%. Sanders is at 16%. Harris is at 8%, and then Buttigieg and O'Rourke has kind of come up a little bit. They're both at 5%. Where are you at with the race? And I mean, where I kind of see it is it's going to be a Biden versus Warren is kind of where I see the race kind of going. It's going to kind of be one of those two who get the nomination.
Yeah, it's tricky right now. I'd like to see a little bit more from everybody. Mm-hmm. I was super impressed the first go around with Kamala Harris. I mean, obviously Warren led her debate, but she wasn't on the stage with the rest of them, which I think was unfortunate.
Yep.
I was super impressed with Kamala Harris the first time around. I thought Cory Booker did a really good job the second time around.
Mm-hmm. He did have a great debate, yeah, the last debate.
Julian Castro is always consistently impressive, and Mayor Pete does a good job too. To me, I'd like to see Elizabeth Warren on the stage with the rest of them.
Absolutely.
I think enough of separating it out.
That.
We need to, yeah, yep, we need to get to a point now where everybody's working together to figure out how this boils down.
And playing off each other, showing us their differences,
exactly,
where they're similar. You know,
I was a Biden fan years ago. I think, and this makes me so sad because it feels very ageist, but I think he's past his prime.
Me too.
And I think that he would have been really good a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I think he's older. He's slowed down. He's been through a lot of personal tragedy.
Yeah. Yep.
I think the small missteps are going to be a problem for him because they're going to get escalated.
Yep.
And even though the kinds of things that Trump says are wrong in a different way,
mm-hmm, yep,
right? Like he just makes stuff up.
Yeah.
Biden is misspeaking in a way that does make him seem like he's losing it a little bit.
And
like,
Biden is speaking in a way where he has to go back and correct it.
And he's willing to correct it, which is fine.
But here's the thing, yeah, is when you watch Biden on the campaign trail, he's had one great speech. He had one great speech, but the rest of his appearances, he hasn't been sharp. You know, he's not, you know, and it's like, I see a lot of people comparing like, oh, well, Biden's gaffes are nothing compared to Trump's gaffes.
We don't need gaffes at all.
But that's correct. Like, I mean, yeah, that is correct when you compare. But here's the thing. What's also true is that we're not comparing Biden to Trump yet because we're in a Democratic primary.
Right, we
got a lot of great candidates who aren't out there making gaffes.
Correct.
Right. And who are very sharp and who are making a very persuasive argument that they can go against Trump.
So let me give you the perspective that that really helped me shape the way I feel about this, and I can credit my friend Chris Freites. I don't know if you are familiar with Chris. He was he's been a reporter for a long time as a Politico and then CNN, and we were talking about this the other day. And it's sort of like the house is on fire,
we're
in a house right now that is burning to the ground.
It's scary. It's a scary time out there.
And the question is, do you put the fire out? Well, what we need to do is put the fire out before we start talking about building an addition.
Right.
Right. And what's happening, I think, is that for a lot of people, it feels like the Democratic primary, they're having all these conversations about what the addition's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of people in the country are like, can we just put the fire out before we start talking about how we're going to spend the insurance money? Like, let's just like put the fire out, get back to the place where this house is livable again. Like, let's just all calm down.
Yeah.
Like, let's get back to normal-ish.
Right.
Then we can talk about the improvements we're going to make.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of conversation that's happening in the Democratic primary right now, and I get that it's a Democratic primary, but that's going to bleed over into a general, is that the conversations about how we're going to bring the country forward, mm-hmm, which I personally love.
Yep.
And I've come around to single payer over the years through various reasons. But that conversation scares a lot of people in this country. And I think that as a progressive and as somebody who wants to see the very best for this country, I think that we're going to scare a lot of people off, and I worry about that. And I'm with Elizabeth Warren on, like, I don't know why you run for president if you don't think anything's possible and you don't have big plans and all of that. But I was talking to somebody who is a former Republican, who's now an independent because of Trump.
Sure.
And her mother's the same. Her father is still, and her father says, I could see myself voting for Biden. And I said, oh, can he not vote for a black person? He can't vote for a woman. And she said, no, he can't vote for a liberal. Like, it feels like everybody else is a little too liberal for some of the people who are very anti-Trump, but aren't ready to vote for a Democrat that feels like a Democrat. And I'm not saying we should pander to those people.
Right.
But I'm just saying, let's not discount how important
those
that
people
is.
Exist too.
Correct. Yeah. And I think a lot of those people who are willing to, Republicans and independents who are willing to vote against Trump, aren't necessarily willing to go as far to the left as a lot of the candidates look to them right now.
Yeah, I think a couple things. I think you're hitting on some good points. I think that the first thing is that people are scared. People are in fear.
Yes.
Right? Sure.
And because the house is on fire.
The house is on fire, yeah.
But I would say that when you look at Biden politically, he politically is very comparable to Hillary, right? They have a similar, especially economically.
Sure.
And so just take gender out of it. I get nervous that in my head, when I look at someone like Joe Biden going up against Trump, I don't think politics as usual and kind of that status quo politics is going to beat Donald Trump. I think playing it safe. And I think I get why people want to take it safe. You know, people are scared and all that. But I think, again, when you listen to some of the media pundits on CNN or on MSNBC, you're ignoring the struggles of everyday Americans who are out there that are really struggling with their healthcare costs. Mm-hmm. And they're really struggling. Like, there are Trump won because our system is broken. And it only works for kind of the rich and the powerful. And Trump kind of went in and lied to them and said, yeah, his message was the system is rigged and only I can fix it. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Trump went in and he rigged the system even more for the rich and the powerful.
Sure.
And so people are hurting out there. And so I get nervous when Democrats worry more about appealing to Republicans than energizing our own base, you know? And I just don't think that settling for status quo politics is going to work when America is ready for real change. I think that it's, yes, we got to beat Trump, but two, we got to fix the broken system that led people to be so desperate that they voted for Trump in the first place, that they voted for a con man because they believed that he could fix it and he can't. And so when I see someone like Elizabeth Warren come along, her message is very similar in the first part that she says, yeah, the system is rigged for the rich and the powerful.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I have a plan to fix it. And you trust her because her whole life is this, you know, from her work in the, you know, in consumer finance and, you know, consumer protections and just her whole kind of body of work has been about working people and working families and standing up for the little guy. And I think that it's that time where people want someone who's fighting for them. They don't want to see someone. When you hear them on the debate stage, we had that first, the debate where CNN hyped it as the liberals versus the moderates.
It was so
ridiculous. But I will say that, you know, when some of those moderates are talking, you know, it's like I can hear their big money campaign donors in the back of their head talking. And it's like, I do think that people want someone who's going to fight for them. And they want someone who's a fighter. And that's kind of Elizabeth Warren, why I think she's rising in the polls. I mean, I started supporting her when she had 5%.
I remember, yeah.
Back in April, and people said, you're crazy, Ryan. Like, I had literally activist friends of mine who wrote me messages like, oh, Ryan Knight's officially lost it. Proud resistor, what? Well, look, she's risen 15 points because she's running a message that's for the people. And I think that
She's telling people how she's going to do it.
Right.
She's going to do to pay for it.
There's a pragmatic element where her math adds up. So you go to her website and she shows you how she's going to pay for her student debt relief.
And she's been very good about getting that rather wonky message out there to the people so that it's understandable.
Look, the way she explains things is truly professional and she is very good at simplifying the message and helping people to understand. I think on the economy, you are 1,000% right.
Yeah.
I think going up against Trump, her economic message is going to resonate, especially if we slip into a little bit of a recession. Like I think that Warren, I think 1,000% I'm on board with you. I think her message is going to resonate.
Well, and it's going to resonate with people. Independents don't always vote for it. Independents don't always vote like based on if they're Republican or Democrat. They vote based on if their policies are bold and if they're going to help their families, right?
No, I get
that. And it's about the party who's strong, who can make the best case.
Right. But here's where...
Yeah. No, good.
Here's where I'm going to get you.
Debate is good.
No. I'm totally on board with you on the economic message. I think she's losing people on healthcare, and I'll tell you why. And they all are. It's not just her. They all are. Because you can't... This is so difficult. The messaging is wrong on single payer healthcare. People are not understanding why we need it. And I fully believe we need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the system is messed up. It's expensive. Our outcomes suck.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are a thousand things wrong with our healthcare system. I know it personally. I know it professionally. I've seen it in other countries. Like, there are so many fundamental changes that we can make.
Mm-hmm.
It scares the bejesus out of people.
Yep.
They don't understand it. And this conversation that's happening now about single payer and universal health care and public option and no public option, like Medicare for all, it's scaring people.
Yep.
And so they may love her economic message, but the whole idea that you don't know what your health care is going to be, and even though it's going to be better than what you have, they don't believe it. And it's very easy to demonize socialized medicine. It's very easy. There have been years and years and years of scaring people, and they don't understand it because the messaging is wrong and the communications is wrong. So if you can convince people that what you're creating is going to be less expensive, better care, less expensive, better care, better for the country, better access, and better outcomes, yep. right? Like all of that, you can make a fundamental shift.
Yeah. Well, but, the
but
first
all
thing,
people hear yeah. is socialized medicine, DMV running your healthcare. You don't want it to be like the IRS. Like all of those talking points that have been pushed by the insurance company, the hospital association, mm-hmm. oh, the yeah. drug companies for decades.
And they not just decades, they're doing it right now.
Sure.
Big Pharma and these giant insurance corporations are putting in millions of dollars to run against Bernie
Correct.
And Warren. And
Correct.
A couple things. First of all, that everyone needs to be clear. The Democratic Party is the party of healthcare.
Absolutely.
The Republican Party is the party that's trying to take away our healthcare. And that message, I think, has gotten out there. It's why we won the midterms in 2018.
Right.
But and I thought this was Warren's strongest point, though. I'm going to counter you a little bit because
sure,
when
I
you
love
had
it.
Some of those when you had some of those moderates that were and Warren turned around and she said, stop using Republican talking points.
Well, that's exactly it. They were giving yeah. Republican
stop
talking
using
points.
Republican
yeah.
talking points to scare people. Like we're having a healthy debate about healthcare. No one's trying in the Democratic Party is trying to take away your healthcare. We're not trying to take away. It's that we're the party of progress.
Right.
So we want to improve, right? Obamacare was great when it came out. The ACA was great.
The
Affordable Care Act.
You can't use yeah. Obamacare yes. in my
presence. Not in her presence.
The ACA, the yes. Affordable Care Act in 2008, it was amazing. Well, guess what? The Democrat, unlike the Republican Party, we're the party of progress.
Right.
We believe in making things
sure.
better, right? And when you look, America is the last developed country
Correct.
In the world.
Correct.
In the world that doesn't have universal health care. Mm-hmm. And so, and why don't we have universal health care? Because of Big Pharma
Correct.
And because of giant insurance
corporations.
The medical
industrial complex.
And
Absolutely.
So when Warren stood on that stage and she said, until we have leaders that have the courage to fight back against the greed mm-hmm. of Big Pharma and these giant corporations, then it's just going to be more of the same.
But she needs
and
to
she's
stop
right.
there. But she needs to stop there. And that's the problem we have right now is that, and I don't know if it's because the moderators are baiting them into it, but the Democrats are fighting about minutiae and details that don't matter right now. All she needs to say is we are the party of healthcare.
Yep.
She needs to go up against Trump or whoever, you know, whoever mm-hmm. ends up being and say, we're giving it to you
yep.
and they're taking it away.
Yep.
Like they're never going to give you healthcare. Like big, beautiful healthcare
is
not a plan.
They're actually trying to repeal it right now
Correct.
In the courts.
Correct.
20
yes.
Republican attorney
right.
generals.
But that's
filed
all
the, suit.
The
yes.
Democrats need to say.
Yeah.
Right. That's all they need to say
but
is that
but
we're going to give you healthcare and they're going to take
Correct.
It away.
But
and
I
how
think
we get there is not a discussion right now.
Right. But I think the discussion is happening in the Democratic primary because unlike Republican voters, we're not as ideological and we can have fact-based, nuance-based discussions like me and you are having right now.
Right.
And I think that's what separates our party, that mm-hmm. we're not just all like, oh yeah, you know, we don't just like all go follow our leader like they do. You know what I mean? Like
sure.
blindly.
Sure.
You know, but so I think it's an important conversation because again, right now on Twitter, as we are having this podcast, CVS denies care, hashtag CVS denies care is trending nationwide. I think it's like number three mm-hmm. the last time I checked, because here at CVS is a $77 billion corporation mm-hmm. with a board of directors that's all men, and they're trying to take away birth control from tens of thousands of women who have disabilities who can't get into CVS. So they have a thing called Pill Club that delivers the medicine that takes the birth control from CVS to their homes. And here we are like, this is what happens when we don't have single payer, right?
So are they taking it away or they're just raising the price?
Raising the price that's so high that it's going to restrict access to so many. But here's my point. Okay. My point is when you don't have universal healthcare, when you don't have Medicare for all, the most vulnerable people in our populations, the people who need the women with disabilities who can't get birth control, people who have to pay $300 for insulin
right.
and they have diabetes. Mm-hmm. We're watching what happens when greed and corruption takes over our healthcare system when it's not about the most that they can pay out for our healthcare. It's about profiting off of our sickness, right? That's what they're doing. It's sickness care.
It's a for-profit
industry. But I just think that while we continue to have these debates, it's important to keep in mind, as long as our medical insurance is controlled by these greedy corporations, this is what our system's going to look like. And the most vulnerable are going to be the ones who bear the brunt of it, like always.
Sure, sure. I guess what I'm arguing in this is that, I mean, we could do an hour, you know, we could do several hours.
Just on healthcare.
On healthcare alone.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, plenty of thoughts and opinions about it.
Yep.
And there's some fascinating nuances to it, too,
yep.
that are worth discussing.
Sure.
But I think it's important to think about the messaging around it at the moment. And
yep.
in order to move forward, we have to be careful that we don't get too far into the weeds, that
Agreed.
We do give Republicans talking points.
Yep.
And I think that there's two things that need to happen, right? First of all, you have to get a cooperative Senate or
yeah.
anything that these Democratic candidates say don't matter.
100%.
They, there's nothing that's going to happen. I mean, 100%. It was a huge heavy lift for Obama to do what he did, and he had to sacrifice the public option in order to get it through the Senate.
Yep.
And that was a big part of what would have gone a long way towards putting the insurance companies in check yep. and keeping pricing more honest and yep. driving down pricing. And so now there are people who are talking about reviving the public option. And every time I watch these debates, I think, how are you going to do what Obama was incapable of doing
right.
if we still have a Republican controlled Senate?
Well, and
you're
that's
not going to get any farther than he would. And I'm sorry, but you're not going to take any steps closer to single payer because you can't even get a public option.
Right. Yeah. Well, if we're going to have a Republican, if we're going to take back the Senate from Republicans, though, and this is what again, another thing I like about Warren's message is we need a grassroots movement. Like we need a dynamic candidate. When you have a dynamic candidate at the top, it gets people to vote down ballot, right? So they're voting, you know, it gets people to the polls. Like we can't. And so that's my whole thing. Do you think someone with kind of status quo ideas is going to get a big turnout for our base and beat Donald Trump, or somebody with big ideas? Do you think someone who's kind of playing it safe or someone who's going for big structural change? I just don't think Biden's message and what the campaign Biden's running, can Biden even fill arenas? Because there's reports like when Elizabeth goes somewhere in Iowa, she gets couple thousand people show up. Biden goes the next day, he gets 400 people.
Yeah, no.
You know, like a fourth the size. Like, is Biden going to get people excited to go knock on doors and canvas and get people? That's what we need. We need a candidate who's going to inspire leadership from the bottom up. That's what it's going to take to win the White House, to win the Senate,
yeah.
and to win the House. And so I just, these people who say, oh, you know, we need someone who's going to appeal to Trump voters. Like, I 100% disagree. Elections are won by turning out our base.
Well, that's the problem, though, is that who votes?
Right.
Right? People over 65 vote. Like the getting out the vote effort is severely lacking.
Correct. But we turn out our people. Like when you look at millennials under 30s, who do they support? Their number one candidate's Warren. Their number two candidate is Bernie.
But they don't vote. That's the problem.
But you got to get them to vote.
But
this is what I'm telling people. You're taking it out of my, like, you can't scream at them to vote blue no matter who when you give them a candidate like Biden who they're not energized about.
No.
So this is what I'm trying to tell
Correct.
You. You need a candidate that energizes them.
Right.
Turnout is based on, you got to turn out your voters. I
Correct.
Agree with you.
Yes.
But
yes.
so.
No, Biden's not going to energize. And I'm not,
no.
look, I'm not pro Biden at
right.
all. I mean, I think he's past his time. And I, you know, I haven't picked my person yet. I think Warren's fantastic.
And we don't have to until next
yeah.
year.
Yeah. No, no, no.
No, you don't
I
have
don't.
To.
Yeah. I don't. No. And I'm with you 100%. I don't think Biden is the energy that we need.
Yeah.
I just think that Democrats have to be super careful that we're not taking the primary so far to the left that people who are going to vote against Trump feel that they can't vote for a Democrat because the Democrat's too liberal or too progressive. And I just
but
worry about
that. But can I ask a question?
That. Yeah.
Because this whole, I think the big lie in American politics is that the Democrats are going too far to the left. And I think it covers up the real truth is that the Republican Party has gone so far to the right that we have children in cages and a white supremacist in the Oval Office. Like, I don't see this. People say, oh, it's going too far to the left. Where? How? I mean, if you look at the Democrats in the House, most of the Democrats in the House are moderates, right? Most of, like, our Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's and Ilhan Omar's and Rashida Tlaib's of the world, I love them because they're fighting for us and they're
right,
fighting for the people,
right,
but
sure.
they're few and far between.
Yeah.
When you look at the shakeup of our party, the majority of our party, that's what, as a progressive activist who fights so hard for these issues, it's an uphill battle. I'm fighting CNN. I'm fighting Nancy Pelosi. I'm fighting,
unfortunately,
you know,
districts that elect people like that are few and far between.
Right.
Most of the other
right.
districts are kind of moderate.
But yeah. when you look at, like, for instance, the election in 2016, it was decided by 70,000 votes, right? Mm-hmm. In three states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, right? Look at how many people voted for Jill Stein. People voted for Jill Stein because they were disenchanted with both parties. Those same people, I think it was over like 100,000 people. My point is that when you give someone a candidate like Warren, who's running a campaign that's grassroots, she's not taking money from big money donors, she appeals to people that haven't really been voting, right? 100 million people didn't vote in 2016 mm-hmm. because they're disenchanted with both parties. So what I'm just saying is don't discount the ability of someone like Warren to engage new people in the political process that Biden's not going to bring into the political process. There's more than one way to win the White House besides what you hear on CNN, that only a moderate can beat Trump. That's
no,
all
no,
I'm
no.
arguing.
I agree.
And that's what, and you look at, for me, I look at who are the last three Democrats that lost the White House,
right?
Al Gore,
right?
Hillary Clinton,
uh-huh.
and Kerry,
right?
They were all moderate.
Yeah. But I don't know if it was their politics or the lack of charisma. Yeah, there was a charisma deficit. Yeah, there's an issue there, yeah. Right?
Like, but I just think
Hillary had a lot of baggage that people don't like to talk about, but there was a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
I worked for Al Gore. Like, you and I both worked for Al Gore.
Right.
I know, I've met Kerry. He's a lovely man, but the man that I met was not the man that ran for president.
No.
Like, you know, there's a charisma thing that's missing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but I just think it's important. Look, I'm not...
That's why Obama was so fabulous.
Because
he had...
He had that charisma. Yeah.
And again,
and charisma is important for a national office.
Whoever
like that.
Wins the primary, we all have to get behind in the general. Yes. 100%.
1,000%.
I agree on that.
I vote blue no matter who. I just also think that we need to be mindful of the fact that it's going to take a big message. It's going to take bold energy. It's going to take a fighter to beat Donald Trump.
Oh, and I think
Warren
can do it.
And when I look at all the candidates, Warren is the biggest fighter. I mean, she is a fighter through and through.
I can
and
do
that's
it.
What I love about her.
I think
her.
She can do it. And I get it. I get it. Yep. I worry a little bit.
Of course.
Because I think that this is a we can't lose. Like this
absolutely.
This is a tipping point.
Yes.
Like if he wins another 4 years,
agreed.
We're in an authoritarian dictatorship
agreed.
On the way to Nazi Germany. Like I really
get why people support Biden and why he's winning in the polls. I just think as more people watch him on the campaign trail, I just
he
don't,
has name recognition.
And
he's
has
winning
name
in the polls because he has name recognition by people who aren't watching news.
But when I watch Biden, like even at the debates, he hasn't won either debate.
No,
he's been in.
No.
And if you can't win a Democratic debate, how can you beat Trump in a debate?
You can't.
And that's what I'm like. The way I see the way he presents, he's not sharp.
No.
How is he going to take on Trump?
He's not.
Because whether you, I mean, I can't stand Trump, but Trump is a steamroller. I mean, he comes at you with a lot of energy, with the all his BS and all his propaganda, and you need someone who's going to be strong and can fight back. And Warren is a fighter. I mean, she will fight back.
No, and I think there are a couple of people on that stage who
Kamala is a fighter.
Kamala could do it. I think Cory Booker could do it.
Cory's a fighter, yes.
Look, I would love nothing more. We can end on this because I know we got to wrap up. Than to watch Mayor Pete go at it with Mike Pence. Like, to me.
Yes.
Oh, and the VP debates? That would be historic.
Would pay for that.
Yeah. Mayor Pete is smart. He's cutting in a charming kind of way.
And he uses his religion.
Yeah.
In a way that educates and uplifts.
Right. Yep.
And doesn't make excuses for his crappy behavior.
Exactly. Oh, no. Mike Pence will be screaming for oxygen.
Exactly.
If those two have to debate. On that note, let's take a quick break. Yeah. I want to tell you about this awesome new product that I was just sent. I just went to Florida.
Yes, you did. You just got back.
It's weird how that worked out. I was sent this bugger off balm.
Uh-huh.
And, mosquitoes are terrible in Florida.
They're mosquitoes the size of
I'm
Buicks.
I'm a Florida native.
Yes, you are.
And so,
I can tell you.
And I hate bug spray because it's like gross and you spray it all over.
And it's greasy.
And so there's this new, it's an organic product. It's made in the Pacific Northwest. It's called Bugger Off Balm.
Yeah.
It's made with GMO soybean oil, beeswax, rosemary, thyme, geranium, citronella, cedarwood, basil, eucalyptus, and essential oils. And
that sounds wonderful.
I rubbed a little bit of it on my hands.
Yeah.
No mosquitoes.
Really?
I could leave the screened-in porch. You know what? My boyfriend's mother has a screened-in porch. Uh-huh. She just had surgery.
Screened-in pool.
So she can't, they literally
had a screened-in pool growing up.
You can't go outside because the mosquitoes are so bad.
They eat you alive.
I put the bugger off balm. You put a little bit on your hands. Boop. No mosquitoes.
That's amazing.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Can I add a side note real quick?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the show Florida Girls.
Oh, wait. Time out for that.
Oh,
we're coming back to Florida Girls. So just for our listeners, Bugger Off Balm is offering a 15% off when you use the code SEXY.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Go to buggeroffbalm.com and use the promo code
SEXY. B-A-L-M. Yes. Okay.
B-A-L-M.
Oh, I thought it was bomb. B-O-M-B. Yeah. No, it's B-A-L-M.
B-A-L-M.
B-A-L-M. Uh-huh. Buggeroffbomb.com and use the promo code SEXY at checkout. That's right. Get 15% off by going to buggeroffbomb.com and use the code SEXY at checkout. Medical disclaimer, not for use as a deterrent against Zika or Lyme disease. If you live in or visit any high-risk areas, you will need something stronger.
Okay. Yeah.
Back to Florida.
Oh, no, we were just talking about Florida earlier, and I just wanted to say there's this thing called the Pop Network, which I'd like never watched before. But
yeah, Schitt's Creek is on.
That's what I heard. Yeah. But I stumbled on.
My boyfriend loves Schitt's Creek.
I stumbled on this show called Florida Girls, which is like it's not a reality show, it's a scripted show.
Yeah.
But it's like five girls who live in a trailer in Clearwater, and then one of them gets her GED and gets out, and it's the other four, and it's just very funny. And if you're a Florida person like me, I mean, I'm from South Florida, which is a little bit different than the Clearwater area, but. I found it very funny, and my other friends from Florida found it amusing as well.
What was one of the names of the contestants?
They have a friend named Crystal Meth.
Wow.
It's that kind of show.
It's that kind of show. It's I was laughing with Philip because we were going to Florida and I thought, oh, here come the mega hats. You know, his mom was right outside of Orlando. Sure. I only saw one mega hat.
Really?
So I was thinking like, okay, Florida's in play in 2020.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
I'm sure if you go inside the villages, though, it's a little
bit. They elected Rick Scott twice and then sent him to the Senate.
Unbelievable.
So I don't know. I always
it's going to be a fight. It's
I always
be a
have
fight.
Hope for Florida, and then that happens.
I know. Real quick, you spent a lot of time investigating Trump Russia.
Yes.
I just want to get your take really fast. I mean, my head is, look, Trump, the Mueller report shows basically that they colluded. There was over 200 contacts.
Sure.
You know, there maybe wasn't criminal conspiracy, but the Trump campaign was weaponizing the stolen emails, right?
There was full cooperation.
Right, full cooperation
is the
word. Full
coordination. I think we'll find out more when we hear about Roger Stone's trial.
Yep.
I think he was, look, Roger.
But here's my thing that I get nervous about, that Trump wasn't penalized for it, right? We don't know what's happening with impeachment. You know, it's looking maybe like we'll have impeachment hearings. But my head says, well, if Trump got away with it in 2016, he's going to do it again in 2020.
Oh, it's already
going on.
Moscow Mitch, who's blocking legislation to secure our elections. So my question to you is, how big of a threat is Russia in 2020? Do you think there's a little bit of like, okay, they already did it to us in 2016, so it's not such a surprise? I think people are more include in with the fake news stuff that was going around. I think voters are a little smarter to know if something's real or not. For as far as the information warfare that Russia's going to do.
It's not going to look like it looked like in 2016.
Right.
That's the problem. It's like, you know, when
change
we had
it up.
Richard Reed with the shoe bomber, and now we all take off our shoes at the airport. The next attack isn't going to be a shoe bomb. Like, it's not, they're not going to do the same thing.
Right.
And I warn people, look, the Russian hackers have been in our power grid. They've been poking around. Mm-hmm. They have access to everything they need to create chaos on or around Election Day. Mm-hmm. I think it's most likely it's going to look like something like that. I mean,
they attempted to get into all 50 states election systems.
Yeah, and all you have to do is remove people from the rolls, right?
Yeah.
Change an address, number, and an address, something like that. Then it makes it really hard for people to vote. On top of that,
I always tell people. It's not about, they don't have to actually go in and change
the
votes.
Oh,
they just have to clear off voter rolls. So when people go to vote on election day, the person at their polling place says, oh, you're not on here.
Right.
And so then they can't vote.
Well, they do a provisional ballot. Nobody ever counts the provisional ballots. And then it becomes a chaos and people don't trust the democratic process.
And Russia's not going to clear out democratic voter. I mean, they're not going to clear out Republican voter rolls. They're going to clear out democratic
voter
rolls.
It's making the American public not trust the electoral system.
Correct.
That's the linchpin.
But think
and
about
that too.
Even something as simple as this. They can get into our power grids, right?
Yep.
If you, on election day, if you shut down things like traffic lights and people can't get to the polls, now you've created chaos, right? What happens when there's a power outage at your home, right?
Everything
else falls by the wayside. You got to figure out like what you're going to do.
They do an internet attack where you can't have internet. So many people are like going on, you know, where do I get to my polling place? And they look it up on the internet.
Right.
All they
have to do is create chaos in the actual physical world.
Yep.
And it throws our whole electoral process off.
Well, and the other thing is they got the ultimate chaos agent in the White House, Donald Trump. So it's like,
he doesn't care.
The thing is like, Russian propaganda, like when Trump speaks, he's speaking the same way that the Russian bots do. Same information that Russian bots will share on Twitter is the same kind of racialized, you know, they attack, you know, racial stuff. And
they create, they create division.
Yeah.
And the whole idea, people, and we could do another hour on this one, is that people don't understand that Vladimir Putin wants to create a Russia that is of the same superpower that the Soviet Union was. He thinks that the dissolution of the Soviet Union is the greatest geopolitical tragedy of his lifetime. And he wants to create a nation that is of the same strength.
Sure.
And in order to do that,
and if the same thing happened to us, we would want to do the same.
Right. So he can't do that simply by building Russia up. What he has to do is tear down Western democracies.
Right.
And there's no greater Western democracy to tear down than the United States.
Right.
And so I don't know. I think he's been cultivating Donald Trump for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you go back and you look and they say, okay, he's a useful idiot. Mm-hmm. All he cares about is himself and money.
Yep.
And so we can create a real estate opportunity for him that's going to yield him a tremendous amount of money. In order to do that, we need to curry favor with him. And so they use, you know, all of the people that they possibly can to help talk around this you know, project in Moscow, and he wants to get in with the oligarchs, and he wants to
compliment him, and
everything that he possibly
massage
wants.
His ego.
Yeah, treat him
and
like,
they kind of hit it behind a beauty pageant, right? There's always a cover.
Yeah,
you know, that was kind of.
I mean,
like
they sent an email saying this is the Russian government's help for your father.
To
like,
Donald
what
Trump
more
Jr.
do you need?
Nothing.
Like,
it was blatant.
It's right there
right
in
there.
Black and white.
And then he said just a few like last month that he would do it again.
Of course he would.
You know, that
who
I would look at the information.
Who wouldn't take that information?
Yeah. Right.
So I think they're absolutely in it. I think it's not going to look like what it looked like last time.
Right.
I think that there's been absolutely no deterrent.
Yep.
Intentionally.
That's my fear.
Yeah. There's been no.
That's
deterrent.
My fear.
Putin's getting everything he wants and then exactly.
Everything. And Mitch McConnell
is helping him because Mitch McConnell won't lock down the
election security system.
And but I will say Lindsey Graham and Rand Paul,
all of them,
Bill Barr.
I will say that I love the energy that the resistance and the Democrats are starting to understand that we can flex our political muscles and use our political power, because labeling him Moscow Mitch has gotten Mitch McConnell totally flustered. He also just
also
just went home, right, to Kentucky, which he thinks is like a safe red district, and he went to go speak, and there was literally 150 resistors who showed up and started chanting Moscow Mitch at an event that he was speaking at. So again, I think that if he's gonna hold the election security bill ransom on the Senate, and he's gonna block the gun safety bill that 90% of Americans support universal background checks, if he's gonna do that stuff, then we need to start coming together, building grassroots movements, and putting pressure on these Republicans for being anti-democratic.
Or
right?
get him a challenger who can win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's if we don't flip the Senate, then we're just back in the situation we were when Obama was in the White House and the Republicans in Congress said we're not going to help.
But I think that the first year and a half of Trump's presidency, you heard all this both sides chatter. Now we're really making the case that it's Mitch McConnell who's blocking our democracy, who's blocking gun safety stuff, that's blocking election security bills. So if you want those things, go out and vote against the Republicans and flip the Senate, right? I think that message is becoming clearer and clearer
in
people's minds. And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. We have to win the messaging battle. For so long, Republicans with their propaganda and lies, they win by with lies. That's how they win, with these messaging battles. We have to win the messaging battle. We have to tell the American people that the Democrats are on our side. That they're on your side when it comes to gun safety, when it comes to climate change, when it comes
to
healthcare.
That's a hard thing to do when somebody's a lifelong Republican. So
absolutely.
You got to figure out how to convince them.
Those independents, though.
Yeah, no.
And I think that we're starting to see that shift, the messaging shift. I mean, or it's just we just let them, you have the Senate and you can do whatever you want.
Right.
I mean, if they're going to be that way, we have to fight back.
Right.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Jackie. Thank you.
Jackie, we went so long with you.
We went overtime. We were over 50 minutes.
That's because you're awesome.
Because you're amazing. Yeah. Thank you for the conversation. Awesome. I love the back and forth with healthcare and with kind of where our party is.
And how can we follow you everywhere?
Yeah, where can people follow you?
Okay, so most of my stuff right now is at Jackie Schechner on Twitter.
Awesome.
And I would...
Jackie with an I?
Yeah, J-A-C-K-I. And Schechner, you're on your own. You can figure that out.
I'm also going to tweet out this podcast, so they'll get your Twitter handle from that.
Please, yeah. And I'll certainly, if there's any developments that you guys need to know, I'll let you know. And then I'm right now using the hashtag Cable News Rehab.
Yeah,
I love that.
I would encourage people to try it. Join me. And then let me know how it's going for you. I'm on day 4 right now, and I've been picking up all sorts of new music on Spotify. And every day I'm putting out a new Spotify playlist that I like.
And I also think it's important that you're not checking out from all of the news.
No.
But I think that's important for people to know.
Yeah.
You're reading NPR, you're reading Associated Press articles, you're reading the Washington Post.
Yeah, New York Times. Yeah.
You're not watching CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Well, obviously, you wouldn't watch Fox News.
Yeah,
anyways,
I just don't need more opinion and speculation. Yeah. Like, I'm happy to take, informed expert knowledge. But I just don't think that we need it. And it's a lot of chatter, and it's infuriating, and it makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
And I want to continue to fight, but I want to do it from a position of strength. And I don't need to be torn down by Trump's, nonsense every 10 seconds.
Trump's bullshit. You can say bullshit.
But what I'm hearing is, like, you can be informed without all of the noise.
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of getting rid of the chatter and the noise giving you any value.
Yeah, no. And frankly, like, the stuff that he says, especially, like, he says something and then the media goes squirrel and they go chasing after it. And then he says something else and the media goes a squirrel. And we're like a flash cube attention span.
Totally.
And I don't,
every day is a new scandal.
And
every
none
day
of
something
it matters.
More outrageous.
By the end of the day, it's over and we're on to something else.
Yep. Well, what matters is that we get behind our Democratic, whoever wins the Democratic primary. And what matters is that we get out there and we canvass and we vote and we elect a Democratic House, Senate, and President.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
Right?
And getting out the vote is going to be the most important
thing. Absolutely. The most important thing. All right, guys. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Amped Up. If you want to continue the conversation on Twitter, you can use the hashtag Amped Up, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Stephanie Miller, America's original sexy liberal, if you don't count Miller Fillmore. Come join us for the Happy Hour podcast. You're probably already doing plenty of drinking and swearing with this stain of a president in office. Well, join me and my celebrity and comedian friends for a raunchy, uncensored ride through politics and pop culture. Pants optional.